Today's episode is brought to you by Monster. Find employees who work as hard as you at monster.com/hiring. Monster. Find better.
Hello, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. From the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. And just like that, it is earnings season once again. Wall Street predicts that it will be bad. But how bad is bad, and what can we really expect from it all? Let's get right down to it with the Money Beat podcast coming up right now.
From Wall Street to Main Street to your street, this is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal. Money news that helps your bottom line.
Welcome to the Money Beat podcast. Paul Venia and Stephen Grosser here with you as always. Joined today by two of our compatriots, Kevin Kingsbury, Ben Eisen. And folks, we're going to talk about earnings season because earnings season is a first quarter earnings season, unbelievably, is upon us.
Unofficially kicks off today.
We've barely gotten done with fourth quarter and now first quarter already. Who's reporting today, Grosser?
Alcoa,
a little company you might have heard of.
Yeah. Not as important now that it's not in the Dow any longer, but still considered.
Still
the
bellwether.
Unofficial,
still
the
a bellwether. And kicks it off. It's a bellwether. It matters. It matters. So, look, what we're going to do is it's interesting because everyone's got a little spin of the numbers because they have to have a spin of the numbers because the numbers are going to stink. They're not going to be good. So we've got Kevin, we've got Ben. You guys have been covering the different angles. Some people are suggesting that, oh, it's really bad, but because it's bad, it's good. Some people are saying, no, it's really bad, and it's going to be bad. Let's just dive in here. I want to start with you, Kevin, because you wrote our Morning Money Beat piece today.
Right.
These numbers are going to be bad.
Yeah, we're looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 9% of
profit contraction.
On a non-GAAP basis, which is the gussied up number, so God only knows what the numbers would be on a GAAP basis.
Right. Meaning GAAP versus GAAP, non-GAAP is you can exclude certain items.
So it's numbers that
you can make your results look nice and pretty.
You're not conforming to accounting standards is what that means, everybody. So in your press release, you can basically write whatever you want.
Right, and even on that basis, we're still looking at a high single-digit decline.
The worst since the financial crisis, the peak 2009, right? The first quarter of 2009, I think it's the worst sort of contraction since then. So like that sort of puts in perspective how bad this is going to be.
Why is this happening now? What's driving this?
Well, we still have Forex impacts from the strong dollar. Mm-hmm. We still have oil impacts because a year ago, oil was still a fair amount higher than where it is now. So the oil companies are still logging some pretty substantial earnings declines, even though we're now 2 years almost into this oil drop.
Right. So you have those issues. You still don't have strong sales growth.
No.
We have not had that for a long time.
Right. This is going to be the fifth straight quarter of year-over-year revenue declines for the S&P 500.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Fifth year.
Fifth quarter in a row.
So so those aren't good numbers, Kevin.
No.
So why does Kevin Kingsbury have to write a piece today telling people that those numbers are actually bad?
Because you know about the game, Paul. You've been ranting about it.
I know about the game, yes.
Because the bar could not be lower for earnings. And, you know, companies have a history of beating it, and they get that short-term pop, and you know that's what people are talking about when they talk about, oh, it's not going to be as bad because enough companies will beat it, and then they'll get that short-term pop. But from a longer-term investor standpoint, this earnings season is not good.
No. You can't – and I know our compatriot Stephen Russolillo wrote a piece.
But that's what he was talking about. He was talking about short interest being up. He's talking about, you know, a number of companies that will beat, you know, that low, low bar.
Yeah.
And so they're going to get the nice little pop. He's talking about right after, the trading day following or the days, after. But that's going to dissipate very quickly, in my opinion.
And what is this – and everyone jump in. Ben, I want your opinion on this too. I mean, what does this mean for – forget the stock market for a second because we know what they're going to do in the stock market. What does this mean for the economy – for workers? I mean, this can't be a good thing.
I would say
I was going to say
to Kevin's piece, there are two points that are in there that are interesting, is the idea that it's not just earnings, it's not just energy companies, it's broadening, as you say, and the positive impact of oil's decline on the consumer discretionary is basically gone now.
Right. That J.P. Morgan is saying that essentially 80% of any gas-related savings has already been spent by the consumer, so there's really no more big jump to come that might help earnings.
Yeah.
So we're just in this almost a negative feedback loop where everything that could be good has already happened, and it still really hasn't had much of an impact.
And to Steve's point about just the earnings weakness spreading beyond energy, I mean, we're seeing that one way to look at that is in earnings pre-announcements, where people basically, you know, pre-announce the range in which right. they're going to earnings are going to come in, and for those companies where the range has been kind of below analyst estimates, we're seeing a lot of them happen in the healthcare sector. Even places like technology, you know, only some of these sectors actually do pre-announcements sort of by tradition. But really, it's not the energy companies that are sort of giving these really downbeat outlooks. Right.
So how broad is it? I mean, you mentioned healthcare tech. You know, I mean, is it really broad or not? Is it? In other words, I know what they always try to do is they try to pick out the one sector that stinks. And they say, well, you know, if you exclude that, everything looks good. And that's been energy for a long time. How broad is the profit contraction this time around?
I mean, I would say that I think it's very broad. You know, obviously within sectors, you kind of differentiate between some of the better performers and worse performers. But, you know, to see something like healthcare having, you know, so many negative pre-announcements is definitely not a good sign for the sort of you know, everything is great X-energy view of the world.
Right.
I think it's only three sectors, and Kevin, I don't know if you know this, are expected to actually show profit growth.
I think it's
growth.
Yeah, I think it's three. And then also FactSet has said that as of right now, we're already at the second highest number of pre-announcements to the downside ever for a quarter in the S&P.
Wow. So, do you know offhand what the other quarter was?
It was beginning of 2011, I believe. So it wasn't in a period where there was a lot of bad things going on. It just right. happened to be a period where a lot of people coming into a new year pre-announced badly, which is yeah. kind of what happened.
And interestingly, healthcare is actually despite, and so healthcare had the highest number of pre-announcements that were below what, you know, analysts were expecting. What's interesting is healthcare is actually one of the three sectors that should show positive profit growth.
Just
this
not
quarter.
Good.
It's yeah, it's like around 2%.
Right. Wow.
Which isn't great.
Right, right. All right, that wraps up the Your Money Matters edition of Money Beat. You can check the full podcast out at wsj.com/podcast.